The epistle reading from Acts. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of the Lord in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men or women of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of the Lord continued to spread, and the number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ann had quite the scripture to read this morning. And then Fran gave a little interpretation of the text that I appreciate and like very much. For those of you who may not know to what I'm referring, the scripture says the word men only in the book of Acts, but we are told very clearly in the book of Romans that a woman named Phoebe was indeed a deacon. So let us just remember that as we come to read the scriptures Sunday by Sunday. Let us pray together. Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we participate in an ancient rite of passage that has been passed down from congregation to congregation, generation unto generation. New deacons have been duly elected by the body of Broadway Baptist Church. And we gather this morning to lay our hands and offer our prayers upon their ministries. God help them. And God already has. They have been called by God. They are already recognized leaders in this congregation. They are servant leaders of the people. And they are persons full of the Spirit and of wisdom, just as those first deacons in the first church. Pastors and deacons can sometimes have a conflicted relationship with one another. I have heard many a preacher tell many a joke about their deacons. Deacon jokes among pastors are like mother-in-law jokes among husbands. But I want you to know, and I say this very, very sincerely, I respect and am very grateful for my mother-in-law. So much so that we have to live with one another. And I say this very sincerely and seriously also, that I feel the very same way about my and our deacons. In fact, all pastors should respect and be grateful for their deacons, because they are appointed to help pastors minister to the needs of the people. Deacon means servant. And the office of deacon was born in the early church out of a need to better serve God's people in God's house. That early church was trying, very fledgling-like, to build a more inclusive, multiracial, multi-ethnic community of Christ followers. But the leadership in that congregation was all Hebrew with no Greeks. And we are told that there were many mouths to feed, but not enough hands to help. So the result was that many of the widows of the Greeks were neglected in the daily distribution of the bread. It is never good for the widows of the church to be neglected. And it was a crisis for that young, fledgling church at First Jerusalem. But rather than responding in the way that many leaders too often respond to criticism in the church with cold shoulder and denial, instead the apostles modeled a much more excellent way. They recognized the validity of the complaints. They acknowledged their own personal limitations and also the limitations within their programming. They listened. They listened and they considered, and then they organized an adequate response. They responded with creative compassion, ingenuity, and the empowerment of lay persons for the purposes of the care of Christ's church. Thus, then, the office of the deacon was developed to help in the distribution of the bread and the tending to other temporal affairs of the church. So this was and always will be the first and primary charge to the deacons: to help with the administration of the bread, to distribute the elements at communion, to serve our neighbors at agape, to feed both the body and also the soul of the congregation, and to do their very best to ensure that no one goes neglected. And everyone is properly cared for as is fitting in the body of Christ. Deacons, both you four new deacons and also the others gathered here this morning, I want you to know that we pastors need you. This congregation is too big for just three people to care for everyone who is out there. And it is important, indeed it is necessary, that we acknowledge this limitation. That is what today's Old Testament lesson that Anne read is all about. The needs of the people were too great, and there simply wasn't enough of Moses to go around. He was dying on the job. and leaving everybody in his wake. So the scripture says the Lord called them to call 70 elders to the ministry of service in order to help this man. There is not enough of me or Jennifer or Fran to go around. So to this ministry of service, you have been called to help also. Like the early church, we tried to put together a diverse and representative group of leaders on our diaconate. We seek to give voice to and concern for all of our people within the community. Just like the church in Jerusalem, we center diversity, equity, and inclusion as we give consideration to both the people and also our programming. And you are here to help. You are our allies and partners in this ministry, and together, we seek to serve the good of all of God's people. And taking the bread, we bless it, and we break it, and we give it to you to give it to others. And somehow, though our resources are still small and the needs of the community are still very considerable, somehow the miracle of community takes place. And as the scripture says, all ate and they were satisfied. And we are told that the church prospered and grew in both unity and in number. But there is more also to this story than just the bread. We read today from the beginning of chapter 6 of the book of Acts, where those first deacons were called. But if you go on ahead and read the rest of chapter 6, you will see that one of those deacons, Stephen, did a mighty bold thing. Stephen stood up in the synagogue and gave a sermon that got him arrested and hauled before the high priest. He was preaching in the synagogue of the so-called freemen. But some places only want freedom for themselves and not for others. So offended by what Stephen had to say, they conspired to accuse him of some sort of blasphemy against Moses and against God, saying he was teaching them to change the old customs of their religion and culture. And in a sense, he was. And the next thing that we see in chapter 7 of the book of Acts is that Stephen ends up being dragged into court to be put on trial by the council. But even before the council, Stephen refused to recant his sermon. In fact, if you read in front of the high priest and the Sanhedrin, Stephen preached an even more powerful sermon than before, daring to tell them some very hard truths about their history and about themselves. You stiff-necked people, Uncircumcised in heart and ears, Stephen said. You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit just as your ancestors used to do. This was definitely not the most patriotic sermon ever preached in Israel. And mid-sentence, Stephen was cut off by the council and taken out and stoned outside of the city walls. Now, I understand if a story like that may have you new deacons reconsidering your calling. Well, too late. Because you've already, as I said, been duly elected. And more importantly, you've been gifted. You've been called and you've been elected, and you have also been gifted with the same measure of spirit and of wisdom as Stephen and those other early deacons. And the point of this sermon this morning is to say that now we need you very much to help serve the bread, yes, and also to dare to speak and teach the truth. Even if what you have to say goes against the custom and culture of the city or the community, or even at times, sometimes, the church. Yes, we need deacons who are kind. We need deacons who are caring. We need deacons who love and care for this whole body of believers. And also, we need deacons who are strong and gutsy and will not be afraid to speak the truth and teach the history and follow God's Holy Spirit, even if it means having to stand up to some opposed to changing old customs and the expansion of others' freedoms. That, to me, when I read the whole history, is the meaning of being a deacon. To love and also to lead. To serve and also to speak. To be willing to administer both the bread of the body and also the bread of the soul. Scripture teaches us that Stephen, says, was full of grace and power. He was gracious in service, and he was also too kind to both his friends and foes alike. He spoke the truth, and he spoke it in love. And he braved the stones that were thrown his way without hostility or hatred in his heart, but with a powerful, powerful force of soul that bore witness to the one who is always, then and to this very day, the way of love. And in a very, very beautiful scene of both grace and power, Stephen forgave those who stoned him just as Christ forgave those who crucified him also. Stephen was full of the Spirit and of wisdom, grace and power. One church I once went to, they said, Stephen was just full of it. So may you be also. New Broadway deacons. May you be brave. May you be strong. May you be kind. And may you be the true servants of the one who is always, always love. And may God bless you and our ministry together. And may all be satisfied and fed. And may this church, may it be the will of God that this church would too prosper and grow in both strength and in number. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,